Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I do want to just let you know about this. Next week, we are going to have a great privilege next week. This is one of our newest members, Todd's going to be bringing the lesson next week. I will be away. We're going to be in a fellowship meeting over in Tampa. My wife and I think our whole family's going to be over there. Kayla's you're going to be here. Oh, yeah, the girls will be back for Wednesday. But we'll be there, and then we'll be coming back. But so look forward to that. Amen? Are you nervous? A little bit. Good. Good. I guess. He's like, now you are. It's better if I had just showed. Well, part of me is like, let's don't say nothing. Just, and then folks are like, whoa, what are you doing there? No. Anyway, look forward to that. I'll be watching it. I mean, may not be watching it live, but I'll watch it later. Just once. Thank you. Appreciate that. No, just on next Wednesday. Just next Wednesday. This Sunday will be, and then the next Sunday will be, Pastor Leidick will be here doing the Sunday on Faith Promise. So we'll look. Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm bringing him back with us. He's flying over there. He's going to actually stay with us over there in Tampa. And then he's coming back over, and he'll fly out of Orlando going back on Tuesday following. All right. Proverbs 22, and verse 15. I want to, and I feel like I reiterate this a lot, but I do want to get through to it again because of the situation. Passing on wisdom, my idea of when we started this, 53 lessons ago, was Solomon gave this truth to his son. These truths, these pieces of wisdom to his son, he wanted to pass on that. And some of these things that he learned was, in his own experiences, so forth, but. But we have to remember, Solomon was given a measure of wisdom by the Lord that surpassed anyone, right? And so what he was passing on are some of what his experience is, but also just what God had given him. This isn't typically how we get wisdom, is by God just giving this blessing upon him. But he got that. And so what he's passing on is beyond just his own experience, but it's what God given him and some of these things put together. And so the book of Proverbs is just just this list of thing after thing after thing. So what we're going to look at tonight is some wisdom of what he's going to talk about with this thing with children. Look at chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So, number one, the birthright of every child. The birthright of every child. We've got one of these strings, keep it there. We're going to be moving around, but we are going to come back here. So we're going to move around a little bit. So if you've got a string or a card, bookmark some, keep it there in Proverbs, because we're going to come back here several times. But I want us to look at some things of this birthright. A, we all come into this world shapen in iniquity. Turn over to Genesis chapter 5. I want us to look at these things because we're trying to build and develop really what Solomon was. Sometimes, you ever had somebody give you like a really wise little saying, a little thing, and you're like, wow. And you think about it, you're like, there's a lot to that. And it's just maybe a sentence, and there's a lot to that, and you kind of, sometimes you'll just sit back and just think about it for a while. And that's kind of how the Proverbs are. A lot of them, there's a lot of stuff. So we're going to I want to develop it a little bit to find get to the core of what God is really trying to give us. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. We find, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, and after his image, and he called his name Seth. So what we find here, number one, under there, we have continued to be born into this world in the likeness of our fathers. Okay? We've continued, which is in what? Sin. In sin. And so we've continued to follow through this same process. We haven't broke the process yet. Genesis chapter 8. Look over to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Genesis 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Okay? Listen, here's the deal. This foolishness of sin begins from our youth. Okay? That's the blank there, number two. From our youth. This foolishness, when we talk about foolishness, we're talking about sin. Amen? You understand that? We're talking about foolishness and sin. It's kind of is the same group together. Begins from our youth. Turn over to, we're going to go to the New Testament now, John chapter 3. John in chapter 3, we're going to continue to see this concept. John chapter 3 and verse 6. We find here Jesus. By the way, that was after Noah had burnt the offering after the flood and after all that. And God said, I'm not going to curse anymore from that. Now we find Jesus here speaking to Nicodemus in chapter 3. Nicodemus was the ruler of the Jews. In chapter 3 and verse 6, it says this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So sinful flesh only, this is number three, only produces more sinful flesh. We understand that? We are not spiritually born through the flesh. That's why we all need, as it says back there in John 3:3, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So what happens is when we are born of flesh, we're born of that same flesh that Adam birthed Seth, and we find that God had told Noah, and he didn't tell him. It said God said in his heart that that man is sinful from his youth. And so now let's go over to Romans chapter 5. Y'all already turned there because that's what we do here. Romans chapter 5. And verse 12. That's why I don't like to write them all down. Stay with me. Okay. How many of y'all have already read it? Yeah, see, all right. That's okay. That's okay, though. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who was that? Adam, right? We already talked about it. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so here's what we find. Listen, this pattern has continued from Adam through us, and on to our sweet little babies. Right? Well, not mine. My sweet little babies. You know, when you look at that sweet little baby, you're thinking, you putrid little sinner. Is that what we're thinking? No. You're looking at that thing, you're like, how could there be anything any more perfect? Right? You're just looking at that so sweet. B. The foolishness of sin is our birthright, yes. But number one, but it gets worse. I don't like that. Isn't that a blessing? But it gets worse. So it's not only our birthright. By the way, we're all born into sin. Okay? Amen? We get that? It's easy to understand. We're all born into sin. It's our birthright. Nobody skips that. Nobody skips and says, well, I just don't really think I have any sin. You do. By you thinking you don't already reveals how vile our hearts actually are. So it gets worse. Back to Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness, watch what it says here, is bound in the heart of a child. So number two is this, Roman numeral 2. The foolishness of sin is bound in the heart. Okay? It's bound in the heart. A, it is tied to an anchor to the heart. That's kind of what this word means here. It means that it's that the heart and foolishness is anchored into the heart. When we talk about the heart, we're not talking about what gets a hole in it. We're talking about really the inner man, right? Our soul, our spirit, whatever we want to call it in this kind of sense, it's anchored to us. It's so part of who we are. We're born into it. We're grafted in this kind of thing. This is what we come into life with. Okay? It's not that every child is a complete fool or completely foolish or is completely sinful. That's not what we're saying. Well, I know some children aren't that bad. That's not what I'm talking about here. You know, by the way, sometimes some children that aren't that bad just don't seem that bad. I've seen some really sharp kids that seem really sharp in public or actually maybe are pretty sharp, and then all of a sudden something happens. You're like, wow, how did they have just like a total mental breakdown, right? And the fact is the birthright is still there. And that's that sin nature. But number one is this under that. Every child is attracted to sin. Every child is attracted to sin. So, A, under that, this propensity to sin is developed before even the power of speech. So even before a child is speaking, they're already attracted to sin. They're already drawn to sin. So you might say, look here, number two, the heart of a child includes all the sins of which a child is capable, okay? All the things of which they're capable. And A, under that, lying. Do children lie? Deceit, that's the blank. Deceit, children are deceptive. Before they can speak, they're already being deceptive. How can somebody lie that can't speak? Oh, they do. Self-will. Right? They're self-willed, in other words. Or this, a refusal of submission. I remember watching these little girls of mine when they were just little, before they could speak, before they could do much, and you'd tell them, I mean, just little babies, I'd say, don't touch that. And they would, just like a finger, like, what you gonna do? Why would they do that? Why would you do that? Why not just, you got this bigger, louder person that actually can say things? No. And you know what no means. No. When it's said like that, you could say any word, and it means the same thing. Why does that kid look at it and say, I don't think you mean what you think you mean. I'm going to try it. Right? Wow. B, here's the thing. There is no hope but that a continual development of the vile wickedness of our society's children. There's no hope for us, folks. I'm telling you, there is no hope but that children will continue to be born in iniquity and they're going to be evil, foolish, vile humans. Right? There's no hope. Or number one, or is there? Is there hope? Some of you are like, I don't know. This is generation. I don't know what Z. Is it Z or do we have some other name? Double A? I don't know. What are we calling it now? I remember we were like, oh, the millennials are going to be terrible. Man, this generation makes millennials look sweet. You know what I mean? You're thinking, what is going on here? So let's get to number three. Driving out the foolishness. Driving out the foolishness. Again, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay. This is such a controversial subject, but a very clear truth. You don't have to look at this and say, well, let me just spiritualize this for a bit. What it really means is something other than what it says. This is kind of a lot of things that'll happen, but the fact of the matter is, God's very clear. We're going to look at this, some of these things. The sad realization that foolishness is bound in the heart of our children is only coupled with what it takes to drive it away. I'm telling you, it's a sad, miserable thing to think about. You go down to the nursery, I guess, what you call it, pediatric. You know, with all the babies there, you look at them, little babies. Little newborn babies have the sweetest little cry. It's faint. You know what I mean? It's just, you're like, oh, that's so cute, because you know it's about to go away, because they're going to develop them lungs, and that's going to go. But that little one's cute. You're like, oh, man, they're just so innocent. They're just nothing. And to sit there and look at all those and know that foolishness, iniquity, they're shaping, and there's going to be all kinds of wickedness going to come out of that little that room of these little babies, right? But what's even worse than that, or coupled with that, because that's a sad realization, amen? It's a sad realization that every person that's going to come in this world is going to come in, have to deal with the same sin nature we have to deal with. But what's just as terrible is what we realize what it's going to take to drive that foolishness out of them. You say, you think we have to drive foolishness out? No, I don't think that. I just read that. Okay, let me read it again. Second half of it. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So God's plan, can I tell you tonight, folks, is this. God's plan is to drive the foolishness from that child. What it's going to take is, number one, the rod of correction. The rod of correction. By the way, this biblical principle. You know where they're at. It's in the second drawer down, second or third. Oh yeah, there we go. Down just a little bit. Okay. All right. I'm gonna blow my own volume here. Okay. So as I say, you know, it wasn't so long ago that this biblical truth here, this proverb, this piece of wisdom, wasn't hard to grab a hold of. When I say it wasn't so long ago, maybe 50 years ago, when I was a kid, it was already kind of going out of style. Dr. Spock and some of these things were coming in. So, but really, probably a generation before me was this truth was so universally accepted, it wasn't seen strange. Today, this seems like a challenging thing. But can I tell you, even when it wasn't, can I just use the phrase socially unacceptable? It was still difficult. A under there, the rod of correction is not a pleasant method for anyone. I want you to understand, folks. B, it's not meant to be pleasant, right? Who thinks the idea of getting this rod and using it on the backside of a child? Who thinks that's a wonderful thing? You know, what kind of person? We give them more volume. There we go. Sorry about that. When Bob's not here, keep me straight. I mean, he's still here. He's still in spirit keeping me straight, but not ahead of time. He'd have had the battery changed. You know, when we think about the concept of, yeah, tell me if y'all ever heard this one. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt. Did anybody ever believe that? Nobody believed that. You're like, why am I the one crying and you're the one not crying, you know? But I'm going to tell you, listen, this isn't a pleasant thing. It's not a pleasant thing having to afflict in this kind of way. Can I say, it's not meant to be pleasant. It's meant to be, did I give you this one already? It's meant to be effective. It's not meant to be pleasant. It's meant to be effective. So see, God has given a method to effectively drive away the foolishness of a child. Listen, this is not something that we look at and say, I think this is going to be great. Let's get a rod. You know, I think at one point the rod, it was maybe in the form of a stick, probably most of the time, a switch, right? Who said, you know what we can do? Well, let's just beat this little kid. Let's get him. That'll straight. I don't think any parent, you know, can you see mama over there and be like, excuse me? No, probably it was mama that did, actually. And so, listen, it's not meant to be pleasant. It's meant to be something that drives away foolishness. Number two, foolishness will not be driven away by gentle means. Y'all heard the phrase we have today is called gentle parenting. I don't look in all these things, but I've heard some things, but you know, it's the kid comes up and says, I don't want to do that. And you're like, no, Johnny, you use your words, be nice. No, say you're sorry. And we all tried some of these things. Go tell them you're sorry. You know, kid, go tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. You know, say they're sorry. Yeah, they meant that about as much as I'm sorry about my kid doing it, right? So we find this thing. Can I tell you what, folks? And I'm not trying to, maybe I am a little bit trying to make fun. I am making fun of that. But what I am saying here, folks, is this. Foolishness is not driven away by gentleness. Now, doesn't mean we don't raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a different thing. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here in this proverb is specifically about driving away foolishness. You know what being driven away from foolishness says? I don't want to be nowhere near that. Right? I don't want to. You know what? When I touch something hot and it hurts for a long time, I realize, you know what happened with that pain? I'm driven away from it. Right? Pain kind of has a way of doing that. So, wasps are not my friend. I'm allergic to wasps. That's the only thing that I really know of in this world I'm allergic to. Wasps sting. Not wasps themselves, but the venom that they poke into me. And so when I see a wasp, the first thing I do is I'm kind of just like, okay, buddy, we're cool. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But I really am lying. Because as soon as I get to a safe place, I'm going to get a can of spray. I'm going to kill him. You know, so I'm a little bit lying. But you know what? I've got stung several times, and I have to go, and my body part, where my arm or whatever, will swell up until I go get a shot. And so, you know, I don't like that feeling. You know, it's called pain. And so, what I do around wasps now is I'm real cool with them. You know, I'm like, let's. I got stuck with one in the bathroom today. All of a sudden, I looked over. There's a wasp, and I'm just like, oh man. I don't, you know, you don't want to move too fast, and I'm just like, I get you, buddy. We're cool. You know, I always say that. Now, I don't know if they know English, but I'm just like, you know, I'm just saying, if it didn't really bother me, you know, like mosquitoes don't bother me that bad. Now my wife, they sting her, she swells up on those places. So you know, she's like, I'm getting stung out here, I got to go. It doesn't matter how interesting the conversation. If she's about to lead someone to Christ right there, she's like, I got to go. No, I'm kind of kidding. But I'm just saying, you know, if y'all been out here talking to her outside, I'll say, and it's like, you know, I got to go. Because you know why? Because that pain from that causes her, she doesn't walk on grass. Because there might be fire ants there. And if she gets stung with fire ants, it hurts her bad for a long time. It's, well, you know, it's just, so it's like, you know, I don't want to walk on grass. You understand? You know what I'm saying to you here? Am I right? Yeah. So you know what I'm saying to you? Something that causes us pain drives us away from something, right? Gnats are annoying. But I'm going to deal with some gnats because they don't hurt. Unless they're the biting gnats, then it changes again. A under that. There requires a strictness and severity of the rod that causes grief. Okay? It causes grief. You know what happens at the end of the rod? Pain. And then you know what happens after pain? Tears. Crying. Grief. When we were trying to figure out how to raise our kids, we had no examples to look to. Neither one of us grew up in homes that was, you know, all those things were done really properly or, you know, through the right means. And so we're trying to figure it out and failing. I mean, maybe we weren't, but we kind of felt like there's something's missing. You know, we had nothing to compare to. So are they doing good? I don't know. We didn't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. You know, we didn't have nobody. And so we'd listen to some different preachers that we knew of and listen to their teaching on. And so there's this pastor I knew had this whole cassette tape series on how to raise children. Maybe y'all remember cassette tapes. And so we had the cassette. It was one of the big books, you know, and had all the, like, 12 cassettes. We listened to him. And one thing, I can't remember everything he said, but one thing just struck us, and I think it changed my children's lives. Joe's like, I don't know what you're talking about, because she's the baby. But there was he said one thing in this. He said, you know, the problem for most of us is we don't spank our kids hard enough. I'm like, man, I mean, you know, what are you talking about? He said, you know, a lot of times if we kind of just make it uncomfortable for them, it makes them mad. But when the pain, the grief is intense, it changes from being mad to being broken. And I thought, man, I think I told my wife that, and she's like, it just felt weird. I'm going to tell you honestly, it felt, and I thought, let's try, because we're trying it, and I'm telling you, can I tell you, if there's anything that I could pinpoint, a direct change was that. You're like, and it's a weird thing to go around and tell parents, you need to spank your kids harder. It's just kind of weird. It feels a little strange to say that. But I've experienced that. But what we're talking about here is it's this kind of the rod of correction that drives that foolishness far from them. So number three is this. There have been many attempts and philosophies through the years that have sought gentler means to accomplish this work. Okay, I mentioned already Dr. Spock. There's all kinds of things. Now, I don't know if gentle parenting is like a term people made up or if somebody writes books about it. I don't know. But there's these different things that go on. Many have thought to themselves and sold to others the decency and kindness of gentle parenting. Folks, I can get this. I can get this. You know, I don't want to see my kid cry. I still don't like to see my kids cry unless they're being stubborn. Sometimes they'll do that, you know. You're like, my kids, yeah, they get stubborn too. I don't like to see my kids cry. I don't want to see them cry. And I certainly don't want to be the one that makes them cry. You know what I want to do? I want to let them get away with it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want them to have to suffer pain. Yeah, they did something wrong, and sometimes I just like, I would sneak them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in. You know what I mean? Even though I'm the one that told them to go to the room. You know? I don't like it. I'm just saying, I don't like to pay. I don't want to see them cry. I don't. And so these philosophies of decency and gentleness sound so appealing. Because I don't want to do this anyway. But can I tell you what, though? Here's what I want to say here. A under that. But this is all contrary to God's plan to accomplish the task. See, we can't think we're going to accomplish what we're going to try to accomplish in the Lord, but not doing it the Lord's way. Well, in this one thing, I'm going to do it my own way. Oh, man. I again, I want to just say this, and I said already, but I can understand and appreciate the attractiveness of gentle parenting. I do. I love it. I want to love my kids. And I'm not ever. I think when we first got married, maybe one or both said, "I would never spank my kids." I think I said that. Yeah, it was me. I said I would never spank my kids. Now I got saved, and it's like, well, God wants us to do what? What I didn't want to do to my kids. To them, it feels like that. I didn't want to do that to my kids, but you know what I wanted to do more than that? I wanted to please God. And sometimes what I want to do and what God wants me to do, sometimes conflict. And it's really hard because now I have to decide which of those I'm going to do. Look here, B, to the point that going another way isn't just a different choice, but actually referred to as hatred toward the child. That's what the Bible tells us. Hatred. Look at back at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13 and in verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So we see here this withholding the rod or sparing his rod. He that spares the rod, what? Spoils the child. We hear that. You spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible actually gives it a little more teeth than that. It says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. So and it talks about this thing that the second, he that loveth him is the contrary, chasteneth him betimes. So number one, the word betimes means in the morning or at the rising of the sun. In other times it's talked about morning, it means at beat. Really the idea here is early. The idea here of that word betimes means early. So number two, what might seem as difficult, hard, even unkind, God calls deliverance. God calls it deliverance. Proverbs 23. Okay, Proverbs 23 and in verse 13. The Bible says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou... What's that word? Beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now listen, hey, yes, the brutishness of the rod can seem difficult, certainly. But driving foolishness from a child is difficult, okay? It could seem difficult, and I think that's a fair assessment. Man, this is, how can I do that? This is extreme, God. What do you ask? It is difficult. God said, what we're trying to do in these children is difficult. Trying to drive foolishness. By the way, it's not that kid's fault that they're born in iniquity. We're not correcting them because they're born in iniquity. We're correcting them because they've sinned. Right? B, the word beating here can seem extreme. Okay? You say, are you saying we should beat him? Okay, the meaning is simply really is smiting or afflicting them physically. It's really the afflicting. The idea isn't just beating them like a whip, beating them. It really means, it's really simply we'd say is the word is, it's to give us this concept that it's to physically strike them. Okay? It's not some spiritualization of the word rob. Well, rob really means just tough love. No. No, it really means this thing, and this what it's given us here, is it means to beat them. It says it is something that's afflicted. It's afflicting pain. Number three, the alternative is not only destructive for a child, but a shame for the mother. Let's go to Proverbs 29. A shame for the mother. Proverbs 29. And in verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Okay, We are here not referring to beatings as in abuse, which should go without saying. Which should go without saying, we do not think abusing children. It's a rhetorical question here. How do we keep from the rod of correction turning into child abuse? It's difficult. It is difficult. But here's the key. Number one, there is a key. Number one, there is a key in the effectual use of the rod to drive foolishness from a child. Again, 29, chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and, what's that next word? Reproof. Okay? So, A, yes, affliction is needed, but it must, put that in capitals. A under that. It must be accompanied with reproof. So B, the next one. Reproof is the correction, revealing the wrong and explaining the right. Okay? Listen. Look at verse 17. Drop down there. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. See the contrary? When we withhold it, when we withhold that, it brings shame. But when we will give that correction, it gives rest and a delight. Somebody was saying, I can remember when my kids were still pretty young, and I remember this fella that I knew, this couple that actually discipled my wife and I. They went to this parenting family seminar, and they came back, and he said, you know, and it's another thing that kind of changed my thinking. It's another key thing. Came back and he said, you know, something that we learned, and I never really, I don't know if this was the verse they used or where it came from. He said, what they talked about, he said, was really interesting. He said, other people ought to be delighted to be around our children. And I thought, man, that's quite a mark. It's a different mark, isn't it? Because if all I can do is get my kids to obey when I'm standing right next to you, yeah, we've all done that. You know, right? Y'all know that look. Sometimes when you get good at it, you don't have to say anything. You just like, that look that kind of peers through their soul, and they're like, oh no. Maybe if I disappear, I won't get cursed. You know what I'm saying? And but there's a difference between that and have given correction to where it's already to where the child kind of gets it, right? Two, reproof is the answer to driving away foolishness. A child left to themselves, or can I say left to man's way of attempting to drive out the foolishness, is a disaster. It's a disaster, a child left to themselves. B, the child becomes a terror. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That child left to themselves becomes a terror. And going on through life with their foolishness intact. They literally go through life, have never been driven away from that foolishness. They're with it. They bring it with them. And you know who we blame? We blame the kid. That little brat. Little spoiled little brat. You know, and we kind of can get angry at the kid, but wow. See, what a difference it makes if a parent will be times or early chasing the child. What a difference it makes. A parent that will say, you know what, I am going to do this. I'm going to do this early to drive this from you. Three, how think we it any different for the child of God? Let's turn there and then we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 5 through 8. If you didn't get there, just listen. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. What does it say? Who the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receives, whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Listen, folks. The Father continues to deal with His children because of His love and His desire to drive sin from us. Don't think it's a cruel thing to be like the Father. And so you say, why are we telling, you know, most of us, you know, don't have kids at home. I could still, no, I'm kidding. What I'm saying here, folks, is let's take God's wisdom for this thing. Let's think, God, this is what, I know it's uncomfortable. You know, can I talk to you about how you're raising your children? I think we got to be real careful about that. But if somebody asks, I think we got to be careful with unsolicited advice. I get to give it up here while I'm preaching. But we got to be careful with unsolicited advice. But when they do solicit it, let's give them this and not this or this. Well, today what we're doing, can I say, this was written a long time ago. And it was followed for a long time. And can I tell you, it still is followed. Still works. But it is a little more difficult because it takes the kind of love that says, I'm going to place my love for them over my relationship with them. Let's all stand. Father, I do thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, it is, there are some things that are hard sayings, especially in our culture, in our generation, that would be difficult to get a balance on, difficult to see. We've seen some really horrendous things in our society, and yet, Lord, help us not to resist and reject your truth, and Lord, help us to have this wisdom to pass on to others. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.